Yes, what was the ultimate inspiration behind creating the company?
So, you know, I was a model for 15 years, and I've always had this really big pain point with hair breakage and just overall keeping healthy hair. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of models go through this, right? Like, you get your hair from being curly one day to straight the other day to like flat iron to like hairspray. There's so many different looks, and your hair is actually getting damaged in the process. Yeah. And so that was a big thing for me. So after I transitioned careers, I was at an architecture firm, Perkins Eastman Commercial Design. And, you know, I had this background where, you know, I always had this issue of hair breakage, and I started to study textiles. And so I started to like look at different textiles that would be more suited for my hair and mm-hmm. also for my skin. But it came about as a result of like having the problem, having this pain point, which I know a lot of women experience this. Over 50% of women have some sort of hair breakage at some point. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to like use my background in textiles and my background in fashion and really create something that was really going to help my problem, which, you know, is now helping so many other women.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guest reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready?
Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty here, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. Now, on today's episode, I'm so excited because I have the pleasure of welcoming Kimani Mason to the Friends in Beauty guest chair. So Kimani is a former model with a career spanning over 15 years, from runways to commercial work with top designers like Oscar De La Renta and Valentino. She is now the founder and CEO of Grace & Company, a design-forward company beauty brand aiming to make products equally functional as they are fashionable. So welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, Kimani.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat today.
I'm excited to chat with you as well, because I've been doing the podcast for 3 years. I haven't talked to a lot of models yet, but I also like talking to people who are like beauty industry related, but also have brands as well. So I'm like, when I saw what you did, I was like, oh yeah, I got to talk to her. So I'm excited to learn all about it today.
I am excited to be here. Sure.
Yay. So before we get started, we're going to start off with some icebreakers to get us warmed up, and so the Friends and Beauty audience can get to know you outside of what you do for your brand. Okay. So the first one, just give us 3 random facts about you.
3 random facts. So I graduated high school at 15 years old.
Okay.
Be random. My husband and I have 3 sons. So I'm a mom of 3 boys. Okay. And I have identical twin boys.
What?
Yeah. So identical twin boys, and then an older boy who's 17 months older. So we had 3 babies in diapers at the same time. Like, it's, you know, they are like triplets.
God bless y'all. Okay. How old are they now?
So my twins are 5. They're going to be 6 tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And our oldest is 7. He'll be 8 next July.
Okay. Yeah. But the good thing is that they get to grow all up together, and then they'll be out at the same time.
That's the best thing. Like, when they were younger, you know, it was hands-on. It was like full-time hands-on. Yeah. Now that they're a little older, they entertain each other, and they're like really good friends. So it's really sweet to see that.
Yeah, I like that. That's cute. Okay. Who is an entrepreneur or business person that you admire right now?
You know what? There are lots of great entrepreneurs and, you know, business leaders that I could say, but for me, my greatest influence has been my mom.
Oh, nice.
She has always been an entrepreneur, and a lot of who I am today is because of how I was raised and just
Yeah.
what I saw her doing and still continues to do. So she would probably be my, that would probably be my answer.
I love that. What kind of work does she do?
Everything. Oh my goodness. Have you ever heard of Jamaicans who do
I'm
everything?
very familiar.
Yeah. Are you Jamaican background?
Yeah.
You are. Okay. Yeah. So my mom has tried. I mean, I've just seen her do just a what like such diversity in the things that she's tried.
Yeah.
And you know, I think this is why I'm the way I am and why I'm always wanting to build businesses, why I'm always wanting to be working on something and figuring out something. Yeah, so.
Okay, I love that. What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
So we host a lot, my husband and I. So we host a lot. I've heard a lot that I'm a good host or I try
Okay.
to be a good host. I've also heard that I give good advice. I won't necessarily like tell you what to do, but I will listen to all the different points. I'll kind of help you weigh out the pros and the cons and then use your answers to kind of direct, you know,
Okay.
where you should, what at least what I think you should do.
Yeah, I like that. I like we need more people like that.
Yeah.
We do. When is the last time that you did something for the first time?
You asked some really good questions. So this past summer I went kayaking with my little ones and my husband for the first time.
Nice.
So that was in August.
Where'd you all go?
We were in Montauk.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, kayaking. There's a I'm in DC. There's an area here that they have like these waterfalls and people are out there kayaking all the time and I'm just watching them go down. Like they do the crazy stuff. Like I couldn't do it. I'm
Oh
scared.
yeah. So I actually, after I got married in DC in Georgetown, by the way.
Oh, nice.
I
Okay.
lived in DC for a year or so. So I
Right.
love that. I love it there. It's such a clean city.
Compared to New York, right?
I really enjoy it.
Yeah,
My
okay.
friend is from that area as well.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay. So, if you weren't the CEO of Grayson Company, is there anything else you could see yourself doing right now?
Yeah, there's so many. I have interests in so many different things. I think that it would probably involve building something, building a business. It may not be in this industry, but something else that is going to be helpful for somebody else. Yeah. I
Okay.
enjoy the process of building something from an idea to like execution and that really, you know, I really enjoy that.
Yeah, okay. So first I have to say congratulations on landing on Oprah's favorite things.
Thank you.
That is so exciting. Like, okay, so when this happens, because I just talked to somebody else who's on Oprah's favorite things this year. So when this happens, like, do you know ahead of time or do you just find out when we find out?
No, so we knew ahead of time, but we
Okay.
didn't know, we didn't have that much time to prepare. It was still for us, still very last minute because we had to get product in place and we had to be prepared. So for us, it felt like, you know, we had to make this happen very quickly.
Yeah.
But we did get some like a 2 month yeah, heads up.
Oh, like 2 months.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not so then you have to hold that secret for 2 months.
Yes.
Like I couldn't do it. I gotta tell somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had to keep it you know, keep it together for that 2 months. But also it was just a time of preparing because there's a lot that, you know, you have to prepare for something like that
Right,
from
inventory
a
wise.
standpoint. Yeah. So we
Yeah.
had to get that in place. So 2 months is not a lot of time to get inventory in place, like just
Right.
that. So it was 2 months of like full on work and getting prepared, getting my team like in place and getting, you know, our inventory and just there's a lot of logistics that goes behind something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited to be included. Such an honor, and we're very excited.
Yeah. Do you know how that came about? Did she get her hands on the product and test it out?
You know what? I'm not exactly sure. We did send product in. We had a conversation earlier this year with her team. We send the product in and we're like, please, like, Lord, like, let it, you know, like, I really want this. And it happened. I would say from my strategy behind it was praying. Uh-huh. And that's my strategy for most things.
I love that.
Start by praying.
I love that. Have the intention and pray about it and then do the work as well to get it done.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there a way to anticipate? Okay. So, because Oprah's favorite things is insane. So is there a way to anticipate how much or how many units you may need to have in stock in order to fulfill future orders?
Yeah, this was like the big question that nobody could answer, because it really is dependent on your product, right? Mm-hmm. It's dependent on your product. It's dependent. There are so many factors that would go into play. You know, it's very hard to really guess what that would look like. We were just, we just made sure that we were prepared for like whatever that max would be. We mm-hmm. would be prepared for that. Gotcha. And it has been incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still going on. It's still it came out November 1st. So it's still, you know, still happening.
Right. Okay. This is really exciting. So,
hey, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I need you to do something really, really important for me, like right now. I need you to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and let the people know how much you love the Friends of Beauty podcast. See, in the podcast streets, I'm going to let you know something. If you don't leave a review, then people don't know that the show exists, and then the show won't grow. Reviews are so essential to the continued success of the Friends of Beauty podcast. And plus, I really just want to know what you think about the podcast. I appreciate all the DMs, but a 5-star review would be even better. I would love to read your review on the show and give you a shout out for being a loyal listener. And if it's not a 5-star review, don't even worry about it. All right. Don't even worry. Just go ahead and send me an email, honey. We ain't got time for that. If you're watching me on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and even leave a comment to share a takeaway from something that you learned so far. If you don't subscribe or give a thumbs up, then the YouTube streets don't know that the Friends of Beauty podcast exists either. You see how this is going? This is a group effort, and I appreciate you so, so much. Okay, I'm done. Let's go ahead and get back into the episode.
What was the ultimate inspiration for you creating Grace & Company?
Repeat your question.
Yes, what was the ultimate inspiration behind creating the company?
So, you know, I was a model for 15 years and I've always had this really big pain point with hair breakage and just overall keeping healthy hair. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of models go through this, right? Like you get your hair from being curly one day to straight the other day to like flat iron to like hairspray. You know, there's so many different looks and your hair is actually getting damaged in the process. Yeah. And so that was a big thing for me. So after I transitioned careers, I was at an architecture firm, Perkins Eastman, commercial design. And, you know, I had this background where, you know, I always had this issue of hair breakage and I started to study textiles. And so I started to like look at different textiles that would be more suited for my hair and mm-hmm. also for my skin. But it came about as a result of like having the problem, having this pain point, which I know a lot of women experience this. Over 50% of women have some sort of hair breakage at some point. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to like use my background in textiles and my background in fashion and really create something that was really going to help my problem, yeah. which, you know, is now helping so many other women.
Yeah. I hear this story all the time with like models,
actresses in particular as well, just the damage, well, people in color in particular, the damage that we go through on set with our hair and stuff like that. I actually talked to somebody before. She's an actress, and she had to quit a show because of how badly her hair was being damaged under the wig and like all of the things.
But see, I mean, a lot of models like wear extensions for this very reason, right? It's a lot of times just to protect your hair.
Yeah.
Because it gets a lot of abuse.
Definitely.
It's part of your job, but it does really damage your hair. And then another thing too, as when I started having kids, is that I started to experience
the shedding, the postpartum shedding.
Which nobody tells you about that.
They don't. They don't. My friend is going through that right now. And I'm like, people need to write a book about all the things that they don't tell you when it comes to having children.
I know. There are lots of wonderful things, though. Mostly wonderful.
But you don't want to be bald after you got this beautiful baby in your hands.
Well, this is why you have to like use good products, you know, to take care of your hair.
Was there a reason that you chose accessories as opposed to like most people go the route of trying to actually like formulate a product to, you know, prepare their hair? Or
well, I had a background in studying textiles.
Okay.
This was my lane. Mm-hmm. I was very comfortable. I knew what, you know, I know what fabrics should do. I know like the right suitable fabrics for certain things and things that are not good for your hair. And so I felt very comfortable, and I felt like I had the experience and I knew enough about textiles to create something like I did. Yeah,
I like how unique it is, because I do see a lot of people going the other way, but we do need the other accessories as well. We have a lot of products on the market. But
the thing too is that, you know, I could spend a lot on like shampoos and conditioners and all these great things for my hair, but if I use this is just half the problem. If I use really great products on my hair and then I don't have the education around like the textiles and the accessories for keeping my hair healthy, then you're halfway there, but you're not fully there. Because, you know, if you go ahead and you sleep on a cotton pillowcase after using really great products, you've just like, it's through the window, because now you're like that cotton is absorbing everything out of your hair, all those natural oils that you need for hair growth and for hair health. So it is, to your point, is just taking, it's great, but it does not do the complete job.
Yeah. In hindsight,
products to really complete that.
Yeah. In hindsight, now knowing what you know now about textiles and just products and everything, is there anything that you would have done differently as far as your hair when you were modeling to kind of protect it more?
You know what? I wore extensions when I was a model, and that was very helpful. I mean, I think I would have probably started using, like, I would have a sleep cap. I would have like done things like that. I didn't have a really healthy routine around like my sleep and protecting it. Well, like I would have used a satin or a silk pillowcase. I would have, if I had that education back then, that's what I would have done, because it's very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. How long have you been in business now with the company?
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah. Which is the same, you know, I birthed our firstborn and birthed this business at the kind of the same time. And it's gone through different seasons, right? Like when I was a new mom, and then we had twins like 17 months later, and you know, my boys are little, you know, it was a different season than it is now.
Gotcha.
And okay, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Mm-hmm. The evolution of the brand. Oh my gosh. So where does the name come from, Grace and Company?
You know what? It's the grace of God over my life. That's it. Yeah. It's, I mean, yeah. It is just really a representation of just God's goodness over my life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I chose Grace and Company.
I love that. I thought it was going to be like somebody's name, like mom's name or something like that.
It was just like Grace, Lord, like Grace.
Yes, I love it. Okay. I want to talk about the progression of the brand since you've been in business for 7 years. So when you first decided to launch this company, what products did you launch with?
So we launched with a shower cap.
Okay.
Yeah, we launched with a shower cap. And we've tested other products over the years as well, but we launched with a shower cap because that was, I thought that made the, it was the biggest, it moved a needle the furthest as far as like keeping healthy hair, because I'm showering every day. And you know, my hair, if I get in the shower and there's humidity or it gets wet, it's like
Yeah, it's all over.
and it is now. It's like done. And also wanting to protect it, not washing, overwashing your hair. So we started with a shower cap and it did really, really well. And we've since launched other products. So we like to think of it like in the shower, out the shower, and in the bed. And there are many other products that will follow within these verticals. But currently we have our shower caps, then spa headbands, hair towels, scrunchies, and a satin collection, all really to support you along that healthy hair journey.
Got you. That's really cool. So you just had a hero product first, and then you expanded from there. Because I see a lot of people try to like launch with everything at one
Yeah,
time.
I don't advise that because it's so important for you to get feedback, right? And I want the consumer to direct as well. Like, tell me what you need. I have lots of ideas about products and what I'd like to put out, but I also want to get that feedback from that first product, like really make that, like really perfect that first product
Yeah.
before like launching a whole bunch of other products. And then I also want to see, well, this consumer who uses this product, what else do they need? Like, what do they need next? And what do they need after that? And so we've always kind of structured our product launches based on that. What does this same consumer, what does this woman need?
Yeah. So what are people asking for now?
A sleep cap.
A
Which
sleep cap.
I mean, honestly, like I've tried different sleep caps that are on the market. I am not, I think that's definitely something. I've had a sleep cap in product development for almost 2 years. And so it's something that is at the top of our list for sure.
Got you. What do you think about people wearing their sleep caps outside to the grocery store?
I don't know about that. We need something specifically for that.
Right, because I mean, if it's fashionable, it has the nice prints. You have very nice designs and everything. Could, match their outfits or something.
Yeah, we need something for that. Like there's a design that is suitable for that, and then there's something that is for a sleep cap.
Hey, what's up? I know you're enjoying the episode, but I have to put you on to Friends in Beauty's newest community, the Trailblazers Club. The Trailblazers Club is a place where success not only leaves clues, but becomes a tangible reality for beauty pros just like you. See, a lot of my friends in beauty are so talented and so skilled at what they do, but they lack the essential business skills that are needed to grow and sustain their businesses. Or they lack the support that is needed to stay consistent to execute their goals. And that's exactly why I wanted to create the Trailblazers Club, to be able to support you on your journey. Exclusively inside of the Trailblazers Club, you will unlock expert-led masterclasses and breakout sessions every single month, monthly Q&A and mentorship with me, your best friend in beauty, an exclusive and extensive network of beauty pros, support and accountability, access, unlimited access at that, to the archive masterclasses, discounts on select Friends and Beauty events and classes, and so much more. And get this, y'all, it's only $25 a month. You heard that right. It's only $25 a month. But you know how Fat Joe said, yesterday's price won't be today's price, or that saying, that's exactly how it's going to be. So you might want to get in while you can. I'll go ahead and leave the link down below, and your fellow trailblazers are inside waiting for you, and we hope to see you soon. Let's go ahead and get back to the episode. So, do you have a do you know how to sew? Like, were you sewing these yourself when you first started?
I wasn't sewing, but I do know how to sew. So
Okay.
my grandmother, my dad's mom, I remember I must have been maybe 11 years old, and she taught me how to sew. And she taught me how to sew a dress. So it was, yeah. So I didn't sew our first samples. I draw because I have a design background. So I sketched everything and had it developed into samples. And then we kind of went back and forth, through the years on like making changes, but I do know how to sew.
Nice. Is production in the US or overseas?
It's overseas.
Got you.
Yeah.
How did you, because I don't, like, how did you go about sourcing your people if you're here?
For the products themselves?
Yeah.
We've done it different ways. What we're currently doing is right now we're working with like an operations manager that is finding like the right factories and the right fit for us, because it's like there are lots of things that are socially also very important for us as a company. And so because we're not overseas, we're based here, but we still want to make sure that the way our products are made are still, like socially they're
right, ethical and
ethical. Yeah. So we work with an agency that is what they do, and they handle all of that for us, making sure that factories are like up to standards, like, with the different regulations and things like that.
Yeah. It was something I just wanted to ask you, and I totally forgot. It has to do with production. Hopefully it comes back.
Okay.
Hopefully it comes back, because I don't, that's what it is. It's like, is this a lot of overhead when it comes to producing a product like this? Like, what can go wrong? That's what it is. What can go wrong with this type of business? Because I know what could go wrong when producing like products with ingredients, but when you're dealing with like fabrics, like.
Lots could go wrong, right? There's a very technical process for how our products are made, and the fabric itself, I specify the fabric, so the fabric is like the combination, it's like a combination of different things, and that was something that I like designed, right? So there are lots of things, so because the process is so complex, you have the waterproofing of the fabric, the printing of the fabric, there are like lots of different parts, like even the combining of the fabrics. So there are lots of things that could actually go wrong, like just with that part. But you could have like a print like not be what you want it to be, like maybe be navy blue instead of black or something like that. You could have like the waterproofing, like this is too much waterproofing or too little waterproofing, like because it changes the tech, the feel of the fabric and the weight of the fabric.
Got you.
Yeah. So also to answer your question, there are lots of things that could go wrong. I know it's not like a formula where it could expire. Like we don't have those same issues, but there are lots of things that could go wrong.
That's really interesting.
Very tight production.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I always tell people, if you're not in a particular industry, you really have no clue what goes on, because we just buy the scrunchies or the towels, and we have no idea what it took to get it to the market.
Yeah, and it seems like a very simple thing, but there's a lot that goes into it.
For yeah, sure. For sure. And I saw that you're also like in retail too, though.
Yeah, which is super exciting. And we're excited to like really grow this part of our business out. So we're sold on Amazon. We have our own storefront, and we're sold at Saks. And they have been a great partner for us. And we're, we're in the process right now of expanding into some more stores. Yes. So lots of exciting things happening right now.
Yeah, because what I didn't know either until recently is that each, depending on where you are in retail, they have a specific way that they want to receive the products. Have you noticed that with like Saks versus Amazon?
You mean in terms of how we send a product into them?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so everybody has like their like rules around that. But we have a really great 3PL partner that handles all our logistics on the state side.
Yeah.
And they've been running with that.
Yeah. Okay. So right now, currently, how is production and fulfillment going with being in, you said Saks, Amazon, gearing up for Oprah's favorite things? How's that been going?
It's been going well. The good thing about having like a solid team is that, people were already in place to make sure that things run smoothly. And so I've been pretty happy with, how things have gone over the last month.
Yeah. Are you doing this full time?
Yeah. I mean, I'll take that back. Mom is full time. But this is full time as well, but that is, mom is 365 days per year. This is a little less than that.
Got you.
So I have two full times. I like to say my, you know, my kids are in school, like I'm working full time. When they're home, like I'm mom. Like this is what we're doing. We're doing homework. We're doing after school activities. And I take some hours off when we put them to bed. I'm back. This is my second. It's my second shift. I'm back to work.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how y'all do it. I have a 2-year-old cat, and I'm just like, I barely keep up with her.
But when you're doing, I mean, it's exciting, you know. So if it's exciting to you, and if it's something that you're passionate about, as you know, that you're probably passionate about this, so you will be consistent with it.
Absolutely, consistency is key. For sure. So when you graduated from high school at 15, did you come straight to the U.S. after, like when you were 15?
Yeah, I was 15 years old. So I moved to the U.S. and originally moved for school, but I got discovered by Elite Models like within months of moving here. And so I did not go back to school then. I was, you know, I started modeling and things happened very quickly. Like within the same week, I shot Teen Vogue.
Wow.
And like, I think the next week I shot a Levi's campaign. So things changed pretty quickly.
Were you already modeling in Jamaica?
No.
What? So you just got discovered here. They were like, we see something.
Yeah, it was, it happened very quickly. And Elite was my first agency. And I was with other agencies after that. But that was the start of like a very new world. And a career. And I mean, I'm still a teenager, but you know, like now you're like having this responsibility as well, which was, it was an amazing journey.
Yeah. Did you come up here with family?
So I had family here. I had like aunts and uncles. My mom moved here after I did though. Okay. My sister, my brother, and my dad later on.
Okay. So what was it like growing up in Jamaica?
Oh, it was the best childhood. I mean, yeah, it was the best. Like, I have the best memories of my childhood. And it was very different, you know, than my life today, or even like the way my boys are being raised. But I really treasure like just that, the simplicity of that. Yeah, it was really beautiful. Like, you know, there would always be like lots of kids. We were always, you know, play together. We would make games up. We weren't on, like we weren't watching TV and like doing these things. We were more interested in being outside and really exploring.
Yeah.
And that's very special.
You have siblings too.
I have that. I'm the oldest of three. So I have a brother and I have a sister.
Got you. Got you. So how did you get away from like not becoming a doctor or a lawyer when you came here? Like, how'd you do that?
So that was, you know what? I never wanted to be a doctor or lawyer. But I would have probably chosen a more traditional path. Like things hadn't unfolded the way they did. You know, if Elite happened, I would have gone to school. I was interested in journalism and I would have done something along those lines. But I think because I had the experience that I did and I was able to like travel the world and I was able to you know, do all these cool things, it really gave me time to really think about what I really love to do. And so when I went back to school and I did a degree in design, it was because I was super passionate about it.
Yeah.
So I think that was very helpful for me.
Got you. Do you get to go back and visit home often?
Not as much as I would like. We were there, I think, 3 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Not all, but most of my family's here at this point. I still have cousins. I still have great, great friends there. But my dad is here. My immediate family is here. So not as much as I would like. I hope to, like, take my boys there soon, my husband and I, for sure.
Yeah, nice. I want to go back. I need to go back. I think I went last year. My father's from Jamaica and he's from Trelawney.
Oh, that's
So,
a beautiful place. I'm from Westmoreland.
okay. Yep.
The countryside. I'm a country girl.
Yeah, Trelawney's the country too. I don't really stay with my family that much. I'll go visit, but the mosquitoes tear me up too much, so I can't stay down there for too long.
You're just not used to them because they don't touch me.
Oof, they tear me up. It's crazy. I can't.
It is a beautiful place. I mean, there's nowhere like Jamaica. I mean, it still feels very much like home. I mean, I grew up there and it's like I love being there. Like the people, the warmth of the people, the food. I love it. Such a special place in my heart.
It really is. I love it there too. I love it there. So this is really interesting to me because you came here at 15. You weren't modeling previously, but you jumped in and you got Teen Vogue, Levi's. You worked with some amazing brands in your 15-year span. What was the learning curve like for you when you got into the industry? Because it was all brand new to you.
You know what? I think because it was so brand new, like a lot of things would happen and it would kind of go over my head, right? Like, because it's like hard when you're in the moment to process while you're in the moment. So a lot of it I process after, like after the fact, after things happened. And because it was just like going. Are you just in the moment? Are you just focused on the moment? So it was a very big shift. And back then, if you had asked me, I don't think I would have recognized that. But looking back at it, I could say, well, in hindsight, like that was very different from all that I knew. But I think, just I want to say I was lucky. It wasn't that I was lucky, it was just like the Lord's like hand over my life that I really, stayed away from a lot of like the horrific parts of the industry. I was really guarded. And also like my mom, like my family, I had family around. There was accountability, which a lot of girls don't always have because you're like, you're a teenager, you're from another country, your family's back home. Yeah. So I didn't have to go through a lot of those normal things because I had such a strong support,
That's great.
and because like God was always watching over me.
That's great. That grace. I love it.
That grace was always there.
Yeah. Do you have any career highlights that really stand out to you? Like, I did that. Like, that you could tell your boys, like, mom did this when she was a model.
Man, there were so many like cool things that I did, like lots of different magazines or commercials and different things. I think Ralph Lauren for me was like a big thing. Like I really was like, whoa, like how did I end up here? I remember the first time like going to a Ralph Lauren casting and I saw all these models who I'd seen growing up on like Adriana Lima and like all these like girls. I felt so insecure, like, oh my gosh, I'm like 15 years old. And I'm like all these faces that I like saw in these magazines and I saw growing up. And so I think after I got like I was confirmed for that show and I did like several campaigns for Ralph Lauren afterwards, I think that was a huge career highlight for me because I was like, I don't know how I got here. This is amazing. So that is one thing, but I think like for my mom and so on, I don't know. I remember what year, but I went with Beyonce to the Oprah show when she was in Chicago, like actually on the show. And I think, like for moms or like for family, that is like a big thing. Like you got to see Oprah Winfrey went on the Oprah Winfrey show. But for me, it was more like, like the Ralph Lauren or, yeah. Oprah was also wonderful. I guess if you weigh like fashion, like if you're in the fashion industry, then something like a runway or ad or commercial would probably be more what you would think about.
But that's cool. So you got the opportunity to go to the Oprah show, and now you're in Oprah's favorite things.
Oh, it's been so cool. I actually also went to the Oprah show with Michael Kors way back in the day as well.
That is so cool.
It was really cool. It was like really full circle moment, yeah.
Those different touch points, it's like we don't even realize it until, you know, later on. Who would know?
I know. Yeah.
Dang. So, it's like you see models. Well, I feel like the modeling industry has changed in the sense that I feel like back in the day, you would kind of age out. Like you had a certain moment of age and then you weren't relevant anymore. But we see like lifestyle modeling now, and even like the supermodels like Naomi and stuff, they're still relevant. So they're still getting work. Right. But do you think that models should have some kind of backup plan for when that time may come?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I know the industry has definitely changed, and I think that's a very good thing. But I think having a backup plan, kind of regardless of like what you're doing, is a good idea. Like, yeah, but definitely for an industry like that, where it is dependent on whether a client booked you or not, like you're not in control of that.
Yeah.
So for sure, I think that is essential.
Yeah. Have you been able to leverage the relationships that you built while you were a model to help you in your business now?
Yeah, definitely. I've had definitely like friendships that I had back then that has been helpful in this season.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Or even, like people that I worked with, but yeah, for sure.
Because I'm like really, really big on building relationships, especially in this industry. I feel like it's a lot more of who you know sometimes, because talent and skill, all of those things can come, but it's like, who do you know to put you in position to, you know, elevate your brand or to get your brand out there and, you know, those things.
It's, I totally agree. I mean, you could be talented, you could be like really good at what you do, but if you don't have the right people behind you to like help you to those next steps, then no one else will know that.
Yeah. How have you been able to not stay relevant, but just stay up to date on the different trends or just business trends that have changed over the last 7 years? Like now we have influencer marketing versus influencer marketing wasn't a thing like 7 years ago, for real.
Yeah. that's a very good question. And I think, you know, there's some level of staying abreast of what is happening and some level of like moving where the market is moving, but I also feel very firmly in like doing things that feel like good to you, whether somebody else is doing it or not, and kind of just doing what you think as a, you know, as a business owner or founder, what feels right and good for you and your business in the season that you're in. So there are times when we'll like kind of see what's working and kind of follow what's working. But there are also times where we're like, no, this is what's out there, but this is not what I stand for. And so we're not going down that direction. We're going to like take a different path.
Yeah,
and you have to be okay with that. Yeah. And you have to be okay if that doesn't work as well. But at least you stood on your core beliefs.
That can be hard sometimes. People just want to get to the result. They're willing to do whatever. But being solidified and grounded in your core beliefs and your values for your brand versus just going with what everybody is doing,
it's essential, because like trends change all the time. Like there's always a new thing. And so how do you really stay grounded? Like you're always kind of floating from one thing to the next thing. And I can't, like I have to be grounded. Like faith is super important for me. And that's my foundation. Everything that I do, every decision that I make really comes from, you know, having a relationship with Christ and That is essential. Like, I will not break away from that. Like, I don't care what anybody else is doing. We want to make right decisions, and we want to, do what we feel is right.
Yeah. Feel better at the end of the day, operating in integrity.
For the end of the day, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. And who are you, like, who do you answer to? You have to deal with yourself, right? At the end of the day, it's like not the person you're following. So, yeah.
So right now, what is the role that you play, your duties in the company versus what you've decided to outsource to other people?
So, right now, right now, my main focus is on like keep building out our team, keep building like the different verticals of our business, whether it's retail or it's going more into our D2C or Amazon business, or just finding like those right partnerships for us, and just kind of giving direction over that. That is one core thing that I'm focused on. And the next thing is product development. Yeah. And that is like what I love is product development, like designing products, sampling products, testing, and like going through that process of like getting to a place where I love something. And that is kind of thinking about what's next. That's like my main role.
That's fun. That's fun. Is there anything that you're not good at that you're just like, I do not want to do this ever again? No.
There are lots of things that I'm not good at. I get people who are better at it than me. There are lots of things. I don't like, which is really interesting because I do have a design background. I don't necessarily like graphics. Like, I don't want, there are people who are better at it than me. Anything to do with social, there are people who are way better at it than me. So those are two things that I can think about. Yeah. But there are lots of things. There are some things that I'm very good at, and I want to keep focusing on those things. And then the things that I'm not good at, that's why you get people who are good at these things and work with them.
As you continue to grow, do you foresee having to pass along the things that you do enjoy doing and like how hard that's going to be?
Absolutely. And that's okay. That's okay. I would love to always be designing things and always going through that product development. But as far as like our business growth and strategy, for sure, there are people who are excellent at that, and I have no problem. Yeah.
I would ask you about balance, but what I'm learning is like it's really no such thing as balance. But how are you juggling like your career, marriage, three boys, three young boys? I'm sure they have a lot of energy too.
They have a
Like, how
lot
do
of.
you manage or try to efficiently manage all three things?
I think you're right in that there is no balance. There are different seasons, and there are seasons where you're more involved in one thing than the other thing. I think this is where faith is super important for me because the way I approach like marriage or parenting or this business is that like I'm already more than enough. And there is nothing that I'm going to do to make me more valuable. I'm already doing like the best, with parenting and in my marriage and in running this company. So if you could approach it from that place, like, you know what? I'm more than enough. And, the decisions that I make, the things that I do, I'm going to give myself some grace. Not always going to be perfect, but I'm going to like if God has given me such grace, like who am I not to give myself and extend grace to myself? I think that's one of the hardest things for us, and I think a lot for women. Just get like we could even give others grace, but it's so hard for us to receive it and to like give ourselves a break.
That's so true. I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. That's so true.
It's not like it's not a life or death situation. Calm down. It's like it's gonna be okay. I try, and this is for me too. I try to extend grace to myself. And
Yeah.
just knowing that it will never be like a perfect balance, but my business is not my baby. I have three babies. Not my baby. And just like being able to put it in its place. I have a husband. I have like three boys. I have great wealth in family and joy. And that is number one. And then business comes after that. Yeah, God first, and just my relationship, my devotion, my family, and then my business.
I like that, because just the wording of my business is not my baby, because people really, if they really believe that their business is their baby, they're treated like that.
Yeah, it's
So it
not
consumes everything.
Yeah.
Dang,
it's not. And I just don't want to get like so emotionally attached where, you know, like I'm working all day long on this business, but that's a season that we're in. I have to be able, as a founder, to be able to step back as well sometimes and just recognize like, okay, there are actual people around that are more important. My boys are, you know, 5, almost 6, and 7 years old. These are like pivotal, like this age is like so
it's
important
core.
To be present and to be so. Yeah.
Okay, this is great. So what do you foresee your legacy being with Grace and Company, your contribution to the world and the community?
I think overall, like legacy, I'll kind of zoom it out a little bit. Like for me, like it's important for me to like my relationship with God, like is core. My relationship, as I said, with my husband, with my boys, with family, you know, that's very important. As far as the business, I would like to be known as, or I'd like Grace and Company to be known as a business that was really forward thinking and really introduced things that were not even in existence, in terms of like, you know, accessories for hair health and even beyond that at some point. But just to be a business that really understands the consumer, understands the need, and really make products that are aspirational, but so very functional and so beautiful. Because I think those things can coexist very easily. Like I want products to be beautiful, but functionality is key. But there's no reason that they need to be functional and not beautiful at the same time.
Right. We need both.
Because I want to, like, who doesn't want to look beautiful? Like, that's a very aspirational thing. Like, every woman wants to look beautiful and to feel confident.
Yeah. And the aesthetic is, like, so important now, especially with social media. Like, even if we're going to bed, we still want to look cute going to bed.
And even if nobody else is seeing it, we still want to, because it's also a confidence builder. It's not always necessarily that it makes you look, you know, I want it to look good, but it also does something to the way it makes you feel.
Yeah.
And so I'm very conscious of this when we design products, like, because there's some things, like, as I was saying earlier, that I've been like looking at different sleep caps that I, you know, see on the market. And like, I haven't found something that works well, that makes me feel good, that I'm like, I want to wear. And so we wanted to fill that gap for sure.
I love it. I can't wait till you come out with them. Because
yeah.
I have a lot of hair. Are you going to make them so like people with a lot of hair could fit their hair in there?
You know what? You just like are bringing that to my attention for
my
sure.
My hair is like all the way down to my butt. So
yeah.
Normally when I do, I have like, I don't even know where it is. I have this bonnet that I wear, but I have to tie my hair up and then
put it on.
So everything can fit in there. But is there anything else that's coming up next for you that you can share, maybe for 2024 that you're looking forward to?
You know what? I'm super excited about just some, I can't share yet, but just like the growth of our company. And as we're looking to enter retail, I'm super excited about a lot of things that we have coming up.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out. Don't worry.
We'll be watching. This has been great. I've learned so much in this short amount of time talking to you. But before you go, I have to ask you the Friends and Beauty rapid fire questions,
Okay.
which I know you will be great at. So whatever comes to your mind, you can spit it out. If you need to elaborate, that's fine too. It's not like real rapid fire. People get serious. They be like sitting up straight. But if you need to elaborate, that's fine.
Okay.
So the first one is, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Faith, support, having, you know, family and friends. I mean, my parents have been huge supporters. My sister, oh gosh, I call her for everything. You know, my team. So support is huge. And then number three is perseverance. I really think I have the gift of perseverance. I could persevere through some very difficult times. And that is required in business.
Yeah, for sure.
Perseverance would be number three.
Okay. Faith. I love it. Faith, support, and perseverance. Okay. How do you measure your success?
I measure success by, like, how is my family doing? Like, how are my kids doing? How is my marriage? How are my friendships? They're metrics. They're real metrics that we have to hit for Grace and Company. And that's very serious to me as well. But my overall, for myself, my overall measurement of success is not tied into that.
I love it. I love this. Okay. What is the best advice you've ever received or piece of advice that just always stuck with you?
Yeah, my husband always like says, like, has anybody died? Like, really?
Did they die though?
Yeah, did anybody die? Like, no, it just kind of resets, you know, it kind of gives you fresh perspective that it's okay. Every problem has a solution and it's not the end of the world. It really is okay. We go, you know, it's fine. You can work it out.
Yeah, I like that. I got to keep that in my head. But did somebody die?
Yeah, and we get to do this. This is a privilege to be able to build this company. And it's a blessing. So I'm very careful about complaining about blessings. I'm very careful about that. I don't ever want to be caught complaining about a blessing. Thank you.
Because it could be taken away.
Absolutely. And I enjoy it. So,
okay. What advice would you give to another brand owner right now who is just not seeing the results that they want in their business and they're just ready to just, you know, maybe I should just give up?
Yeah, I think if you feel like very convicted that you are like the right founder market fit and you are, you know, earnestly your product, you have a good product or a good service, and it's just not working, I think it's just a matter of time. Try different things. There are like many, many ways to go about doing it. You know, it's maybe get some new, fresh perspective on and try a different way.
Yeah.
But perseverance is so important because things are not always going to be as you expect. And they're certainly not usually going to be easy. But if you're able to have a vision for where you're wanting to go, and you're able to persevere through those downtimes or those difficult times, and you will get there.
Yeah, just keep going.
Yeah, one step at a time, right? It's just one day at a time.
That's what I tell myself all the time. Yeah. One day at a time. People are like, how you doing? One day at a time. I can't think about, if I get too far ahead of myself, that's when I start feeling that, having those type of feelings.
Absolutely.
But one day at a time, yep. What is a resource that has helped you or helps you in your business that you can share with the Friends and Beauty community?
Yeah, there is an email newsletter that I sign up for called The Business of Beauty. You know it?
Ooh, I don't.
Yeah, and it just kind of gives you like a pulse on what's happening in the industry. And I don't usually really read through it, but I see what the different headings are, and if it's something like interesting I want to learn more about, I'll go deeper. But it kind of gives you a good pulse, I think.
The Business of Beauty. I'm going to check it out as soon as we get off. Okay. Yeah. All right. So the last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank. And the key to longevity and success is whatever you think it is.
Definitely success. Be yourself. Yeah.
Just be yourself. So yeah, I say my name is blank, and the key to longevity and success is.
My name is. Wait, I don't think I'm following.
Yeah, what's your name?
Kimani Mason.
Yeah, and the key to longevity and success is.
Be yourself.
To be yourself. Yeah. So her name is Kimani Mason, and her key to longevity and success is to be yourself. Which, like, how do you know when you're being yourself? That's a good question.
Well, you can only be, there's only one of you, right? And there are gifts that the Lord has given each of us, like unique gifts. And He's given us unique gifts that, you know, they're giftings to be used. It's not usually to be bottled up inside of you. So you have the tools that you need because He's given them to you, right? So if you have a vision for something, you have like something you're looking to build, just know that you already have it inside of you, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. And so just being yourself and in that you already have what you need.
So true. So true. Before you go, please share social media information, website, however you want people to stay connected, follow your journey, know when you're dropping some new products, all of the things.
So the best place would be our website or our social. Our website is gracemygrace.com, and our social handle is gracemygraceco on Instagram, TikTok, same handle, and Facebook.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us today. I'm sure somebody got so many nuggets out of here, and I wish you the much like tremendous success, especially after landing in Oprah's Favorite Things. Like, it's about to go up, yeah. up. So congratulations again, and I wish you much success.
Thank you. Same to you. Thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.